I have a question. If you ask the last person who visited your Facebook, your LinkedIn, or your Instagram profile, or maybe even your blog, what they thought you could offer them through your work, do you think that they can answer the question? This was something that I had to give a lot of thought to recently. And, you know, I wanted to share with you some of my newly found insights and what was key to my decision to shift my messaging to try and stand out more authentically in my purpose. You'll be so surprised how, you know, revealing this whole process actually is. And I'm going to share it all with you today. Welcome to the Excel at Consulting podcast, helping you to use your expertise to advance in your career, business, and create a life you love. I'm Dr. Angelina Davis, and I'm a clinical pharmacist, consultant, solopreneur, and working mom. I'm here to share all that I know about growing your career and business while striking a little bit of work-life balance. I believe that it's possible to have all that you want and more. It just takes a little work. And I'm here to make that journey a little easier. We'll dive into strategy, time and project management, leadership, and so much more. Let's get started. I was reading a post recently on social media, and it posed an amazing and reflective question. It was one that simply asks, does your audience know you're there for them? You know, this question just hit home for me because my knee-jerk reaction and really my honest answer was no. No, they don't. At least not fully. And, you know, if I'm completely honest, in an attempt to, you know, kind of like safely market my services and appeal to a much wider audience, I began to soften my messaging. And, you know, I really tried to avoid direct appeals or the use of educational content that I felt, you know, may exclude some and may not be of interest to the masses. And so that slowly eroded my confidence in presenting my true vision to the world. And that meant that my service to others was also being, you know, self-sabotage. I mean, this was unintentional, but it was being self-sabotage nonetheless. You know, everything begins with purpose. It's our, you know, our way of really answering a simple question. What would the world lose without our voice and service? What would the world lose without your voice and your service? So, you know, today I want to share three steps that I took to genuinely and introspectively really reassess, you know, redefine and reposition my purpose so that I can make a greater impact and be of better service to those that my work was actually created for. It was created to uplift and strengthen individuals that, you know, right now really don't know that that work is even for them. So hopefully you'll find these steps helpful. And maybe they can propel you further in a new year because that new year is swiftly approaching. All right. We'll get to it. Here we go. So the first step in this process is to think about what you want your unique contribution to the consulting world to be. You know, what do you want to accomplish through your work? That was, you know, really the first question that I needed to answer in order to define my purpose. You know, I know that as a woman working in the consulting field, I often felt like, you know, I didn't see many that looked like me, that in essence, you know, I didn't see that likeness in many positions. It's definitely positions at higher levels of larger firms or even in many, you know, advertisements or websites and other businesses that are dedicated to growth and advancement in consulting. You know, really in this field, if you really look at some of the lead players or the individuals that you see, often many of them are not women. And definitely when you consider the inclusion of people of color, you'll find that you'll have fewer and fewer faces that, you know, kind of meet those definitions or meet that criteria. So, you know, I would notice many women actually hiding in many large, you know, Facebook groups. So it wasn't that as women, it wasn't that we weren't there, but we were quietly following along, you know, kind of following in many well-known consultants online and just never breaking through that noise, never breaking through the many conversations and, you know, kind of what was happening in many of these forums. You know, but really when you look at the data, you know, for instance, according to consulting.us, women represent approximately 40% of all full-time consultants in the workforce. You know, but when you look at larger firms, this number actually begins to drop by 5 or 10% or more. So you're talking about somewhere between, you know, 30 or 35%. But overall, women are present and are present in, you know, I would say a decent number, although we want to have greater representation, that representation is there. You know, and when I begin to think more and more about why this is the case, you know, I wondered, is this because women are less capable? No. We know that's not the case. As a matter of fact, the same exact article actually reported the findings of, you know, a survey that they conducted. And this was a survey of consultancy buyers. And what they found was that 9 out of 10 of those consultancy buyers wanted to see greater gender balance in the field. Also, respondents stated that a higher proportion of women actually delivered better quality solutions to clients, as well as the company's end customers. Additionally, another fact that they found was that senior executives perceived women to be more effective coaches and faster at developing relationships. And actually, 75% said that women were more upfront about what needed to be done and why, and that women were seen to be more thoughtful, more reflective, and more engaged. I mean, this was just a fraction of what that actual survey showed. So, you know, what you see in a lot of that data and information is that it's not due to some type of shortcoming with regards to capability, but you know, it really is something that is causing women oftentimes not to be seen in this field. Now, this is not to shortchange the contributions of men in the field, but to really highlight the fact that this disparity in gender is not due to the lack of capability. It's not. And what often becomes a challenge for many women, and definitely I can speak to this personally in my own personal experience, are the competing priorities that begin to make it very difficult for many women to take on more and more clients and more high-level projects to be able to effectively compete for advancement. And this is not, you know, different when you work independently, because once again, you're competing with more aggressive companies that can, you know, sometimes deliver results at a faster pace because they don't have some of the responsibilities or ties or other competing factors that may cause limitations in time and resources. And so, you know, it really is just playing on an uneven field, right? And so really my purpose in my work was to use my knowledge and experience, the things that I've used over time to help overcome many of these challenges, to support, strengthen, and elevate the work of women in consulting. You know, I want to see each of us as women walk authentically in our practice to maximize our impact and to excel in all aspects of our lives. I don't believe that there needs to be a choice between whether you, you know, raise your family or you're a great mom and your business and your company, whether or not you're ambitious in your professional pursuits. That doesn't have to be a choice. It doesn't have to be a choice if you have a passion to pursue other goals that may be something completely different from motherhood. I just use that because that's my personal experience. But as women, we're multifaceted. And so there are many things that really, you know, pull at our time and our ability to, you know, really compete as effectively as we would desire. And so I think oftentimes if we have those nuts and bolts in place, we can excel far beyond our imagination. And that's really what I have always, you know, really believed in doing, wanted to do. And this is what I want my clients to understand about my mission and my work. I want them to know that I truly believe that by helping others advance and to become more successful in their careers and in their businesses, that I can leave a mark on the world and definitely make a difference in the consulting field by helping to advance women in this place. And so the one thing that I work to do is really honing in on this purpose and honoring that and no longer shying away from that messaging, knowing that, you know, while I completely value, honor, and respect, once again, the work of other men in the field, I know that there is an opportunity for women to advance equally in this field. And that is something that I want to dedicate my work to. So establishing your purpose, that is, you know, one of the key things that you want to do when you set out on this process, because it's really important for you to tap into your values and your beliefs and the things that you find to be most important. Those are going to be the things that are going to fuel you along as you go through, you know, challenging periods that may lie ahead.
If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Here are four reasons why. One is free. Who doesn't love that? Two, there are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Super simple. Three, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. And four, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Now that you have a clear picture and understanding of your purpose, step two is to reclaim your voice. It may be that your purpose has always been clear in your mind or in your head, but the question is, has it been easy for you to really communicate this to others? If you use my example, my purpose did not really change. It has always kind of remained the same, but I was not communicating that purpose in a manner that was easy for others to follow. So nothing is worse than when we spend tons of time and energy creating something special for someone, and they don't even realize that is a special gift. They don't understand all the work that's gone into it. And so on a lighter note, I can use the example of my husband. I mean, he's notorious for this. You know, nothing's worse when I've spent all day, you know, cleaning up. I may fix a great meal and even freshen up a bit, and I want us to have a nice evening at home. But because I never communicated this plan to him, he doesn't pick up on it, you know, right away. He doesn't pick up on those changes. And so because my work is not obvious, then he doesn't respond in the way that I had envisioned. And so guess what happens? You know, now I'm disappointed. I'm all sad. My feelings are hurt. I may be a little upset. I'm frustrated. You know, well, people can't read your mind. And that was one thing that I had to learn over time, just even in my, you know, marriage and my personal relationship, is that people can't read your mind. And they may not pick up on some of that soft messaging that we'll often do when we are uncertain or unsure about our purpose and how we want to place our purpose in the world. And so we have to make sure that our purpose and our mission is actually loud and clear, that there is no mistake in terms of the message that we're trying to send. And so that's a matter of reclaiming our voice. And how do we reclaim our voice? Well, the first thing you have to do is that you have to speak up. I mean, we have to stop letting these external factors significantly influence our response and our actions. And so for me, it was the desire, like I stated before, not to turn away male clients. You know, I didn't want to push any clients away that I thought that I could help. But this allowed me, or caused me, to kind of quiet my voice and my purpose behind my work. And so that wasn't clear because I didn't want to speak more and more about bringing and drawing more women into consulting and empowering women to, you know, really grow and advance their consulting practices and their consulting businesses, because I felt like this could potentially, you know, isolate or, you know, turn away a number of male clients. But what I have always known, and what I teach others, and this is something that I had to re-examine about myself, is that it always helps to be authentic, because you will authentically attract the clients that are best suited for you. So don't be afraid to speak boldly. I mean, the desire to have greater inclusion or balance, for instance, in my example, should not ever exclude anyone. Think about it. To say that you want more individuals to join a field, to say you want more women to become consultants and to excel and to thrive, should not ever prevent or exclude, our male counterparts from the inclusion in that process, because it's a matter of addition and not subtraction or not preventing another from growing and advancing. And so this was a lesson that I had to learn, and I continue to work, through even today, if I'm honest. But really speaking up is one of the first steps. And then once you're able to speak up, you want to make sure that your voice is clear. Now, clarity supports understanding. So if you desire for your work to really resonate with others, you'll have to do a better job in, being clear with regards to your messaging, because there's a greater chance that the message will resonate if the individual understands that information, is able to apply the message to their lives. You have to create an opportunity for connection. And so the opportunity for connection comes when there is clarity surrounding your messaging and what you're able to effectively communicate. So once again, when I use myself as an example, I was not clearly communicating my purpose in my messaging. And by me not clearly communicating that in a consistent manner, then that lack of clarity could cause my message not to resonate with others, right? So once again, it's not enough to just speak up, but you want to make sure that when you're speaking, that you are as clear as you can be about your messaging and your purpose. And then the last thing, or the last kind of way that I want to share about reclaiming your voice, is the need to be confident. When you know that you know that you know that your work is fueled by your purpose and is fueled by your passion, then it should be easier to stand firm in that knowledge, right? Because really, a lack of confidence in your purpose and in your beliefs is something that can have the opposite effect. So instead of drawing, other clients and other individuals to you, it's actually going to turn them away. And that's because people are looking for authenticity. They are looking for messaging and individuals and advisors and consultants that they can trust, right? And trust comes from truly being confident and standing firm in your purpose and in that knowledge. And so reclaiming your voice is simple. It is something that we can do by speaking up, by being clear and being confident regarding our purpose and how we actually desire to serve others, right? And a key step to achieving the growth and success that we desire after we have established our purpose is to actually share that purpose. And we do that through our voice. The third and final step is to begin incorporating your purpose into other aspects of your business or practice. Now, when you begin to weave this purpose into the DNA of your business or your career, it helps to strengthen your voice and your message. And it actually increases consistency in your approach, meaning that when someone sees this messaging in every aspect of your business or every aspect of your practice, then it makes it more of reality. It makes it concrete, right? One obvious place where we can do this, or where this can be done, is in your messaging. So everything from your onboarding documents to updates and other communications, I mean, they all should include a reminder of some kind of your purpose and the reason for your work. The purpose should actually be embedded in your communication so that when they see this information or these forms or this other communication, they're reminded about some aspect of your practice where this purpose stands out. And another touch point can actually be your interactions with others. This takes it from the written communication to more of that physical interaction and the nonverbal and verbal communication we have with others, whether that is, you know, something that's occurring in person or virtually or via, you know, social media. These are interactions that we want to be consistent with our purpose. So, for instance, for me, if I desire to support the advancement of women in consulting, then my interactions should be respectful and it should be uplifting of others and other women. And so I have that opportunity to do that on a day-to-day basis, whether I am posting or responding to comments on social media, or if I am, you know, following up with a client, or if I'm responding to an email communication. These are all different touch points where I can build my purpose through into my work, through my actions. And you have to really try to be who you said that you were going to be. When people, you know, read about your purpose and they read about your mission and your desire to serve them, they want to know that your actions are going to be consistent with that approach. And the last place that we can really, you know, kind of incorporate our purpose into our business and our practice is in the transformation that we actually offer. So as consultants, we are, you know, in the business of expertise. We want this expertise to offer a transformation to our clients. And this transformation that we offer should drive a result that is consistent with our purpose and our mission. And so this is a battle, right? Because to ensure that our work remains focused and that our expectations remains clear, that means pushing back on a lot of requests. And these may be requests that even come from your clients. These may be things or activities or initiatives or other work that will draw you away from your main purpose or your main focus associated with, you know, with your business or your career. And so you have to be very mindful that while it's okay at times to help in other capacities, you want to ensure that you are remaining consistent in the transformations that you are providing. Because not only does this support your work by increasing the perceived value that the client has, because when they have the transformation that you have, you know, sold to them as a service, then they are going to be satisfied, right? When you have met or exceeded their expectations, they are going to be satisfied. They are going to find perceived or find value in your services. But also when others look at the result of your work and they see the transformation that has occurred in these various clients and other individuals, it will reflect your dedication to your purpose, right? Because they'll say, not only is, you know, for instance, Dr. Angelina, not only is she very consistent with her purpose, not only does she, you know, walk, I mean, talk the talk, but she also walks the walk, right? You want them to really see that your work is real, that is tangible, that is true, that is transformative, and it's something that they can trust. Because it is this trust that actually resonates with others. That is what's going to be key to growing your business, to helping to advance your career. And all of this stems from really knowing and honoring, you know, your purpose and allowing that purpose to be seen in every aspect of what you do. So I'm here just sharing with you some of the deep soul searching and some of the work that I've done very recently to help me move in my business, you know, and I'm trying to move my business forward. So know that I am, you know, not sharing information that I have not begun to work on or take in myself. But these are things that I know to be true. I had to define my purpose. I had to reclaim my voice, and I had to begin to incorporate my purpose into all aspects of my business and my practice in order to begin to see the growth that I desired. And I'm relieved, to be honest, I'm relieved and I'm encouraged by the clarity that this process has offered. And I really hope that if you happen to, you know, try these three steps and to really dig deep into what your purpose actually is and what your work means for your life and for others, and how you want to place that in the world, I hope that this process does the same for you. I hope it provides clarity, encouragement, and hope that all of your dreams are on the cusp of coming true. So don't forget to subscribe to Excel at Consulting Podcast. And it is my hope that I will see you here again soon. Take care. That wraps up another episode of the Excel at Consulting Podcast. It's my hope that you enjoyed your time here and that you'll join in again for another conversation all about consulting, maximizing your impact, and achieving that work-life balance you deserve. Until then, you can follow me on Instagram at Excel at Consulting, and I hope to see you, hear from you, talk to you again soon. Take care.